Hi. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about drawing away attention from ourselves and drawing attention towards God. And the way I began to think about this subject is, as many of you know, my dad works at YMCA Camp Weaver. And they have different groups of all kinds of types that come. And one of the groups that they have is a group of Jewish people. And he was talking to one of his co-workers who is not a believer. And she had made an observation that she was sharing with him that there were many, many people who were coming on this Jewish trip and to this camp, and they were doing all of these things out of ritual, but yet they were doing them with a bad attitude. They were coming to church or coming to the meetings, but they would be cussing on their way there. And so there are many things that they were doing out of habit or out of tradition, but without really understanding why. And I began to think about that, and it led me to think about the head covering. And the head covering is something that women in the assemblies and in the Church of God do, but why? And so, as I was thinking about that, I started to think of an example, and it's something I'm going to share with you right now. I want you to imagine right now that you've just won an award. I don't know what for. Maybe it's for a sporting event or for anything that you can imagine, whatever you've won an award for, and your friends have thrown you a surprise party. And so you come home, and they've thrown this party for you. So you're honored very much that they've thrown this party for you, and you come home with your trophy, and you've had a trophy shelf built especially for this thing because you've been really excited and really happy that you're going to have it. And you come home and all of your friends' trophies are sitting on your trophy shelf. So you come home with your trophy and you go to sit it down, and there's others that are there that are drawing away from yours. Now, are these other trophies bad? No, not necessarily. They've been won for different things, but this isn't the place for them. The place for them would be at their trophy parties or at a different situation. So at a party for your trophy, they don't need to be there because there needs to be one showing because this one-hour party is for celebrating yours. And thinking about this in terms of God and the church, we have come together and we haven't really thrown a party, but we've come together to worship God for an hour during the middle of the week or an hour on Sundays, and we should make sure that the one thing that's being focused on during that time is the glory of God. And that's the purpose of the head covering. The head covering, we're going to look at some different things. First of all, we'll look at Christ. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be reading from there. I'm going to go ahead and read through verse 16. 1 Corinthians 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, But the woman is the glory of the man, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman should pray unto God uncovered? doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now that took about 3 minutes to read and a very, very, very long time to explain in full. And I don't know that we'll ever have a full explanation of it until we get to heaven. But the first thing that we have to look at is the headship. And the word here that is used for head is the word kapto, which means most readily taken a hold of, or the first thing seen apart from the person themselves. So in verse 3, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. So when you think of a man, the thing that you think of apart from the man is its creator, which is Christ and God, and the head of Christ is God. And so we need to look at that. Christ is the head of man. In verse 4, dishonoring his... I'm going to read verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now, in that verse, twice is the words his head. But if you look at it in the Greek, there is a prefix to one of them. At the beginning, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered. There's a prefix there that specifies the original Greek prefix on the first is according to the case with which it is joined. That prefix before the word head is the one that it is joined with. So this first one is referring to the literal head. The head of the man, the actual physical part that it is joined with, the body, is what it's referencing then. And then later it's saying the head, which is the first thing thought of afterwards. So when you when it's speaking of dishonoring his head, you're not dishonoring a man with his head covered, does not dishonor his literal own head, but he dishonors his head, which is Christ. So through this verse, we realize that a man should not pray with his head covered because that is dishonoring to Christ. All right. If we continue to read, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all as one as if she were shaven. So a woman should not pray or prophesy with her head uncovered, because then lost my thought. She should not pray or prophesy with her head uncovered, because then the headship, her head is the man. And so if you look at a woman with her head uncovered, then you're going to the man right directly after that. And when a woman is praying or prophesying, you should not be thinking of her or the man. You should be thinking of Christ. So there's multiple things that have to be covered here. The woman should be covered to show headship of man and Christ. And one of the things that I read, that I found out when studying this, is often prostitutes in this day and age would shave their heads and then adorn blonde wigs, and they would go about. So they were, it was, that's what it was associating with, your head being shaven. And you should, I keep losing where I'm going with this. Hang in there with me. I apologize for a minute. The woman shouldn't have... It was bad for the woman's head to be shaven, is what I'm trying to get at. And with that is taking a look at, is that really a bad thing? And so you can look at people that have had cancer and had to have chemo treatments, and women have lost their hair. And often that causes many problems, especially with their self-confidence and things like that, because hair is something that shows a woman's glory. And the glories are something that's talked about here in a minute. And people often say, well, hair really isn't that important, or we don't spend that much time on our hair. But in my research, I found that hair products have the largest volume of sales in anything other than food. So that shows you that we put one thing in front of our hair, and that is our food and ourselves. So it is clear that there is a lot of emphasis that is put on the hair. Now, I'll continue reading. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. So here it's speaking of glories. We talked about the headship, and now it's talking about the glory. Now I want you to imagine for a second that, not yet, that's later. With this, you see long, beautiful hair. And with the hair, then you're going to think of a woman. And after the woman, you're going to think of a man. And after the man, you're going to think of his creator. And his creator is God. And so, in the glories, what a creator glories in is the thing that he's created. So God glories in us. In Genesis 1:26, it says, we are made in his image. Which that gives us a very, very big responsibility. He is proud of us. The Bible says, he's proud of what he's done in making us. In Genesis 1:31, he says, it is good. It is good what he's done. So he takes pride in us, in the man. And what does a man take pride in? Or what should a man take pride in? His wife, his woman, a woman. And then the woman can take pride in her hair, in her glory. And we want only the glory of God to be showing, so everything needs to be covered. So what do we say that needs to be covered? The hair, which is the glory of the woman, and then the glory of the man, so that only one will be remaining. So that's another thing I'm going to use these trophies for. If you have the glory of God, which is the man, and the glory of the woman, and the glory of the man, what needs to happen is the glory of the man needs to be covered, first of all. And then also the glory of the woman, so that only God's glory is showing. And it tells us how that is done. It tells us that a woman's hair, long hair, is given to her as a covering of the glory of man. Now, one thing that's often brought in on this is how long is long? And what about men with long hair? Now, this is the part where you're going to imagine. I want you to imagine beautiful long hair. You can see it from the back. And when that person turns around in your mind, is that beautiful long hair on a man or a woman? Well, generally, it's on a woman because that's who it has. And it's talking about long right here. And in looking into it a little bit closer, the word long actually means the appearance of hair as a woman. So it's not necessarily as much about the length of the hair, but what the hair looks like. Now, you may ask about guys. Do guys want to look like women? And that can get kind of complicated when you add sin into that. But ask it to a little boy. This little boy has got a new outfit and he loves it so much. And he puts it on and he goes to school. And then he comes home and he takes it off and he puts it in his drawer and he won't wear it again. And his mom comes to him and asks him why he won't wear it again because he liked it so much. He said, they told me at school that I looked like a girl. Now, I've never heard of that actually happening, but I know that would have worked on me. When I was little, if they told me I looked like a girl, I wouldn't want to wear that anymore. So men shouldn't and don't want to look like women. So that's the long hair is the meaning of the woman. Okay. And so with that, you got to look at the woman. The woman has two glories with her. So you can tell your wife that she's twice glorious. She has the glory of the man and she has the glory of the woman. So the Bible tells us that her hair is given to her for a covering of the glory of a man. And a lot of churches believe that that is all that is there to be. There's just that one covering. But if you just cover the glory of the man, there's still a little bit showing. And I'm just using this trophy as an example. If you cover the glory of the man, there's still the glory of the woman showing, and you know that there's something else beneath that as well. And so the Bible tells us that we need to have that covered as well, and that's what the head covering is for. Now, a lot of people seem to think that this is putting the woman below the man. It's making the woman submit to the man, but Paul is very specific to say that it's not like that. I'm going to read what he says. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Nevertheless, skip down to verse 11. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you where I was reading. Starting in verse 11 again. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. And so, the man was created first, and the woman after that, but every man since then has come from a woman. And so, I forget where I'm going with this stuff. So we shouldn't ever think of women having to cover their heads as looking down upon them. Because really, in reality, they're doing it to glorify God and to glorify the man in covering up what is their glory and to help them to show Christ's glory in the church. And in verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. This is another verse that often raises a lot of questions. Because of the angels, what is it referring to there? What do the angels really have to do with any of this? If you turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as if we're appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to men. Now this word spectacle here in the Greek is referring to a show. As if going and actually watching a show, watching a really full example. The angels, we are used as an example to the angels of how we should worship God. And how we should worship God is in taking all of our glory away and giving all the glory to God. And so the angels are watching us in that way. See, that they need to be able to see how we should glorify God. See, we are the ones made in His image, and we are the ones with a choice to glorify Him. And so, we're made a show to them, and to men, and to the world. So we should show in the way that we gather together to angels and to the world that we want to glorify God when we gather together on Sunday mornings. So, really, That's part of the physical reason for the head covering. But the thing about the head covering is it's more, I believe, it's more a position of the heart than it is a position of covering. You may meet someone that comes to an assembly and they cover their head because everyone else does, but they have a terrible, terrible attitude about it. They may really not want to do it, but you may go to a church where they do not practice that, and they could have the attitude of humility and showing glory to God above anything else. They just may not know how to show it like that. And so we have to look at the situation of the heart, and something about the situation of the heart in submitting to show all glory to God is that it's not just about the head covering. A lot of it has to do with the modesty of a person in general. If a woman is wearing a head covering but immodestly dressed, then it may do some good, but it shows you that their heart isn't in the right place or that they just don't know. And so, to So in order to draw attention away from us and towards God, we have to have modesty. And that's not just for the woman, but it's for the man as well. Any biblical discussion of modesty begins with discussing the heart and not the hemline. So when we're looking at this, we have to look at our heart and not at what our clothes actually look like as the basis. Your wardrobe is a public statement of your personal or private motivation. If you profess godliness, your motivation is to be distinct. Your motivation, if you proclaim godliness, is to be distinct from everyone else, to look different from the world. If you will turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Daniel, can you give me some water? 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. So at the beginning of this, in verse 8, it's referring to, in a sense, the modesty of a man. A modesty of a man when he comes to church is he should come into worship lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So men are supposed to come to church without causing a big scene, without arguing, without doing things like this, and that's a way that they do not proclaim themselves above others. Modesty, in definition, is the avoidance of clothing and adornment that is extravagant, showy, revealing, or sexually enticing. Immodesty is an expression of arrogance. It reveals the absence of humility, the act of drawing undue attention to yourself. So if we're to be modest, we're not to have anything that is extravagant, showy, revealing, or sexually enticing. Anything extravagant. I have to be honest. When I was reading this, I decided not to wear what I was planning to wear on Easter, because it was extravagant, beyond the normal, and realized that it's not just women that have to watch these things. Because if you're proclaiming yourself above other people, then that is being immodest. And it's also being unhumble. And we should walk humbly. And in verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, when it's talking here about the braided hair and the gold, I believe it's not specifically saying, do not come to church with your hair braided, or do not come to church with gold. But what was happening in this day is people were dressing up to show that they were a class above everyone else. People came to church, and people that couldn't afford the gold or couldn't afford the pearls or couldn't fix their hair up all nice the way everyone else was would be separated from the people that had all these things. And it drew attention to themselves. And so, for true modesty, you have to have a position of not drawing attention to yourself. And you have to think, in choosing clothes for church on Sunday or for Wednesday, or whatever day of the week it is, whose attention do you desire? Whose approval do you crave? When you're getting dressed, who are you wanting to impress with what you are putting on? Make sure that who you want to impress is God. Also, a thing with the braided hair and the gold is often was associated with prostitutes, which is kind of why I made that reference earlier, but I forgot where I was going with it. But this it was something that was associated with worldliness. So dressing modestly may not be necessarily just fully covering yourself, but wearing something that doesn't make people think of something else. When they see your outfit, do you think, oh, that looks like, or that reminds me of? And now you can't be sure what everyone's mind is going to think. A lot of people's minds do a lot of crazy things. And so you can't be 100% safe on this. You don't know what people are thinking, but you have to do your best to make sure that people aren't associating what you're wearing with worldliness or with sin. You must ask, is your appearance consistent with biblical principles of modesty and self-control? Or does it reveal a liking or association with sinful values and morals? Who inspires your dress? Is it the latest great person in Hollywood? I don't know. Is it a new fashion line? And you go, oh, I'm just going to wear that because that's what this famous person wears? Or are you picking clothes because they're what will glorify God? Who are you identified with through your dress? Who is your role model? That was the same thing with that. Are you picking it because that's what this person has designed? Or are you picking it because God is your role model and you want to glorify Him in what you're wearing? And one thing that I felt I couldn't talk about this without is the fact of things that women often don't grasp. And that is the temptation towards lust does not stop for men. It is continual and it is aggressive. For men of all ages, God created men in that way. And I would like to read what a student wrote. It's just a short little passage. I don't know who it was. It was an anonymous student. But he says, when I see a woman provocatively dressed, I say she probably doesn't know. 101 guys will devour her in their minds today. But then again, maybe she does. The truth, I don't know why she chooses to dress the way she does, the way she chooses to walk, to act. The way she presents herself to me in the world is bait for my sinful mind to latch onto, and I need to avoid it at all cost. So the head covering is so all glory will go to God. And not only all glory, but all attention. There's nothing to take away that attention, but wearing immodest clothes is something that takes away attention from God in the local church and the local meeting. The church should serve as a sanctuary from the continual barrage of temptation. There is not a man alive that does not struggle in some way with lust. If you tell me there is, I'll tell you you're lying. Because there really isn't. God has created us in a way that can't really happen. I believe if many people knew what often goes on in guys' minds when they see things that they're wearing, it would probably vastly change the way that they dress. So that all glory, all attention will go to God. I think I might have made my point in that the purpose of this is so you can realize that in the church, all glory and all attention should go to God. God has made the church to be a resting place for Christians, to be a place where people encounter God without all the distractions of the world. When you walk around a college campus, you see many girls that are wearing immodest clothing. I drive by High Point University every day that I go home. And even just driving by the college, I know that. But God has made the church to be a place where you can come and be separated from that. And so when people come into the church, they should realize that there is something different here. The glory isn't going to that woman. The glory isn't going to her hair. The glory isn't going to the man. The glory is going to God. One thing about modesty is that people may not know if there is a problem. If there is a problem, I would encourage you that if this person has the heart that you know that that's not something that they would be doing, if they're a believer and you are as well and you've prayed about it, that you may go to a person and let them know your concern. Tell them And it takes a lot of guts to do it in the Lord, doing it in humility, not doing it looking down upon the person. But go to the person and tell them that people might take what they're wearing the wrong way. And tell them not, definitely not in a self-righteous way, but humbly. Just telling them, don't. And one thing that I wanted to make sure I didn't come across in this is that when a new person walks into this church, we should never, ever run up to them and say, hey, you don't have a head covering on. You have to put this on right now. And that skirt's a little bit too short. Here, wrap this around you. Because that's not going to work. But if it's a Christian and it's someone that has been coming and you realize that they want to glorify God in what they're doing, then I believe if I was in that situation and I didn't realize it, I would want someone to come to me and tell me, hey, you might not should wear that. You know, and if you are approached, stop and examine yourself. Examine what you're wearing. And it may happen that that's not the case. It may be okay, and that person maybe saw it in a different way than you did or that your parents did. But I encourage you as women to go to your husbands. They know how men think. And they can tell you that that is something that shouldn't be worn, or that's something that's good to wear. And girls, go to your fathers. They know a lot more than I do, I know. And just go to them and tell them, hey, is this okay for me to wear? And I guarantee you that they will be thankful for that. And if you are approached, stop and examine and thank the person. Because coming to you and telling you that probably wasn't easy. And it means that they care about you. And that they care about the way that other people think about you. And they care that God gets the glory from everything that you do. Another thing, if you are a Christian, then the Bible tells us that we should not be unequally yoked. And you want to marry a Christian man. You want to marry a godly man. One that's going to be a good father for your children. And there is nothing more attractive to a godly man than a well-dressed and covered woman in appearance and in heart. It applies to both of those. I want this church to be a church where women are motivated by grace to dress modestly for the glory of God. Not a place that they're doing it because they have to. I don't want to see a bunch of people reaching their purse and put on a head covering because I just said that's what you should do. I want people in this church to do that because they want to show glory to God. With the head covering, it is first attitude and then appearance. And when someone comes in to the church, you should never self-righteously judge them. I can't express that enough. And it's a very hard area to not do that. And never, ever get in the attitude of, oh, I'm wearing a head covering. I'm modestly dressed. That means that I'm better than you. Because then you've just lost the heart of it. And I'm not saying that it won't do any good, but it's not going to do the same. Yeah, I also wish that this church can be covered and modest for the glory of God, but also where an unbeliever can come in and be immodest and without a head covering and be welcome. And so I just pray that everyone that is here tonight will realize that all glory should be covered except for God's. And God should be the only one that is showing. And I may not have done a very good job of saying that, but I pray that the Lord has used what I've said to help you in some way. And I'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come together and to go into your word and read what you've had. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to remove glory from us and to give it to you. Lord, I pray that we would trust you and how we go about this week, and that we would live for you. And I pray, Lord, for all these requests that were mentioned tonight. I thank you for this opportunity that we've had to come, not and talk to you over the telephone, Lord, but to come into your throne room and share these requests with you. Lord, I pray for everyone that they will have a safe trip home. And I pray all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.